lock your doors and don't hitchhike. We're talking about true crime and pop culture. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
We're Poppin' Circumstance,
the podcast where we talk about pop culture in things of like books, anime, manga, movies, TV shows, music sometimes. Today's not the day where we talk about music. Today we're talking about a little mixture of books and movies and TV shows, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, sometimes they could be like docuseries, mm-hmm. You know? It's true crime. It's something I hold near and dear to my heart. I already told everybody in the Halloween special.
Yeah.
I don't like scary things.
But she loves true crime, which makes absolutely no sense, but
whatever.
Each their own.
I'm Eva.
She's Eva. I'm Emily. And today we have a guest producer.
John.
Yes.
Emily's partner in crime. Mine had to go home early. So
John's stepping in today, and he'll listen and give his insight. And you know what? Who better for true crime than a
white man?
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. A white man. The prime suspect for all crime. The white man.
Thank you for coming, John.
I mean, I always said you guys need to add a white guy to the mix. But I don't appreciate that this is the episode.
You know,
it's a great debut for you, I think.
Yeah, it's the perfect one.
All right.
Let's jump right into it, Eva.
Yeah.
You're the queen of true crime, so.
I mean, okay, so I'm not going to do a history. I'm not going to do history of true crime because that's kind of like a little too, I don't know, like up in the air.
Yeah.
But true crime has been around five ever. Like, even before we had, like, printed paper and everything, everyone was, like, super into, you know, public executions and, you know, public, you know, trials and stuff like that. And also, like, way back in the day, like, people could just go onto actual crime scenes and just look themselves, even though they're not police officers or investigators. They're just like, huh, ain't that a thing? Like, there was this one instance where there's this family, and the son of this family, I don't know what happened, he got crazy, and he killed his entire family on Christmas Eve, and except for his brother, who just happened to be, like, out doing errands or whatever.
Yeah.
And the key part of the crime scene was the kitchen where his sister was baking her famous like Christmas cake, which had raisins on it. I don't know why. And so when people came to the crime scene, the cake was still there. People tried to take little pieces of, like, you know, tokens from this crime scene, so they kept on taking the raisins. But then the police officers were like, oh wait, maybe it's not a good idea for people to stomp around a crime scene.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, because this is before, you know, DNA was a thing.
Right, yeah. And apparently the house is still there and you can still go to it and you can still see, like, I think they actually, like, encased, like, whatever remnants of this cake was still there.
Do they still have the fucking cake? That's disgusting, first of all.
And people decided to try to steal it. Even, like, modern, like, day, people still try to steal a lot of true crime things that are encased, that are, you know, there for historical value.
Yeah.
And this has just been here all the time. People have always been, like, fascinated with the macabre and fascinated with, like, psychos, essentially.
Yeah.
With lack of a better term.
Which is weird, too, because then, like, there are some, like, film that obviously are fiction,
mm-hmm.
but, like, we'll take a scary movie that obviously you haven't seen, but John has seen because we watched it together. But Sinister, he's a true crime novelist.
Yeah.
And the cops don't want him to write about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but it's weird because people are fast. That's why, like, he does what he does, because, like, people read his books
because mm-hmm.
people like that shit. But, like, everybody else is like, oh, I don't really like that you're doing this because you're, you know, stepping on people's
mm-hmm.
personal lives. Somebody was murdered.
Yeah.
Somebody died.
That's been the conflict throughout, like, as long as crime has been alive, where people kind of butting in when they shouldn't be somebody butting in, yeah. and it kind of ruins, you know, it either taints the death
yeah.
of whoever died, or like not even the death, just like the crime that was committed upon the victim.
Yeah.
And also it just ruins the investigation, whatever investigation is there. And weirdly enough, like a lot of true crime now has gotten super popular
yeah.
amongst women. And so a lot of people are like, why is it all? And well, first of all, people are like, well, why is true crime coming up now? And a lot of, you know, true crime podcasters are like, it's always been here.
Yeah. 100%.
You only pay attention to it now because it's just a bunch of women who are into it right now. And they're like, why are a bunch of women into violence? You know, just like actual real life violence. And then I don't remember who said this. He was either Karen Kilgariff or Georgia Hartstark, the hosts of My Favorite Murder. Mm-hmm. They kind of said, like, it's not that, you know, we like what's happening. It's that it makes us feel comforted, weirdly enough. Like when we hear all this kind of stuff, it makes us more like, I guess it makes us feel more aware of what could happen to us as women, because a lot of these violent crimes are against women.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it makes us feel more prepared and kind of, you know, ready to see signs of a possible, you know, attacker or something like that. And then also they were just like, and also true crime has another way of, you know, bringing light to a lot of issues in society that a lot of people don't talk about. For example, very high abuse rate and missing cases of Indigenous women.
Yeah.
Like, you know, true crime is really, like the podcasts and all that are really good at, you know, bringing these things to light and calling attention to it so that people can actually pay attention, because Indigenous women specifically are the number one victims.
Yeah. Isn't the statistic like, I don't want to say it's like one, cause like the normal, like, I don't want to say like sexual assault, mm-hmm. but isn't it like 1 in 4 women will be
like, is it like domestic abuse?
No, it's like you'll know somebody or whatever. Oh, and then okay. like Indigenous woman is like 1 in 4 you'll be the victim.
Yeah, like.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's
really, I could
yeah.
be wrong on the actual statistic.
Yeah.
I will actually tweet the correct one, but mm-hmm. I was like, I know, like, I'm pretty sure their statistic, words are hard, is much, like, obviously it is much higher than mm-hmm. everybody else's, but like, John's looking it up now. but yeah, no, because that's.
I mean, yeah, because they are, you know, kind of considered the invisible minority mm-hmm. because...
Also, people try to, like, bypass their mm-hmm. their rules.
Right, yeah, yeah. And then the whole... In the United States, specifically, for those of you who are not from the States, the reservations are kind of like their own mini nations.
Yeah.
And so they do have some of their own laws and... It's kind of hard sometimes to, if there is a crime that happens on the reservation should take care of it.
Yeah.
But they don't have a lot of resources because yeah. it's a reservation. There's not a lot of money.
Wait, so the statistic you're looking for was about Indigenous women like, yes. being murdered?
No, not being murdered. Being
Well, do you have yeah. like a statistic on that?
It says when it comes to Indigenous women, they are 10 times more likely to be killed than the average national murder rate.
Oh, 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean...
What about abused sexually? Because I'm pretty sure when I was in college, it was like 1 in 4 women get abused.
I know sexually. That domestic abuse is like a really big thing in there. Again, it all goes down to like social issues. Yeah. We could do a whole episode on that. Yeah,
it's 1 in 10 women.
Oh, it says 3 out of 5 Indigenous women have been assaulted in their lifetimes.
3 out of 5.
Yeah.
3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Compared to 52% of African American women, 51% of white women, and 50% of Asian American women.
What about Latinx women? Mm. Or do they not have a statistic on that?
Maybe. I don't know. Because I mean, what yeah, I wonder.
I looked into it.
I wonder if they lumped them into that. I mean, again, and also on the news, a lot of the crime that you see. Is about, like, if the victim is white, specifically a white woman, more specifically a conventionally attractive
yeah.
young white woman, it will get a ton of, like...
Media coverage.
Yeah, as opposed to a black woman.
Yep.
A black woman goes missing. Some people, a lot of police officers or people will be like, well, she's an adult. She does what she does.
I was going to say, it's like the case of, oh my God, I want to say her name's Vanessa. She was part of the army, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. From Texas. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She went missing, and like that, she was missing for a while before people even knew she was missing because, one, she's Latinx. So, like, they're like, nah, you just, you know, went somewhere else. But I was like, no, she was on base. Like, that's a big deal. Like, to go missing while going AWOL, like, that should have gotten much more attention than it did.
Yeah, and even for, you know, men of color, they, like similarly, at the same base, there is what was he? I think it was also Latinx.
He was
this guy, and he went missing again, and they were just like, oh, he went AWOL. They didn't even investigate, they're just like, he just went AWOL. And then his family, thank God, like, really pushed it, because this was around the time of the whole Vanessa thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, uh-uh. Like, that's suspicious. And so they're just like, you guys better look into it. And then, luckily, the media got on it. And so, was it the army? I don't remember. The military. It's
one of the branches.
Yeah. The military actually did an investigation, and they found that he was dead.
Yeah.
Nearby, where they found Vanessa's body. So, that's, you know.
Military crimes are a whole different ballgame. There's stuff that they do not let anybody know.
That's a whole lot. I mean, what's that one movie with Tom Cruise, and he's like a lawyer in
the... I was about to say Risky.
Huh?
A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
I was about to say Risky
Business. I don't know. Is that one? Like, no. That's like a little peek into, you know, military law, right? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that movie. Did you have any more statistics or no?
Oh, no.
No? Okay, that's fine. But, I mean, yeah, that's essentially, like, the basis of why true crime is super popular now, is because we are in the age of connection.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, hey, that's not right.
Also because, like, some true crime podcasts have uncovered evidence.
What's it called? Making a Murderer was kind of like the one that kind of springboarded true crime podcasts, because, I mean, I haven't watched it yet. It's a docuseries, if you guys aren't aware. I think it was on Netflix. Yeah. It was on Netflix. And it basically used this thing to try to prove that this man didn't kill.
Yeah.
He was wrongly accused of killing this person.
Yeah.
And then also the Adnan Syed case, it's another docuseries that they did by the same people who did Making a Murderer. Either that, or it's like another branch of Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
Where this, I think he was Muslim, you know, teenager, one of his friends, you know, this girl who was also Muslim, I think, she died. She was murdered.
Yeah.
And without a shred of evidence, they pointed to him because, I guess, back in the, like, for a while, they had, like, a romantic connection a little bit. And they put him in jail, and he was found guilty on, like, barely any evidence. But this girl had a white boyfriend who was also very rich, and they didn't even look at him.
Of course they did.
They didn't even look at him. And usually when someone dies, you look at the closest people to them. Because statistically, it's someone you know.
Yeah.
And... And then right now the case hasn't really gone much of anywhere, except I think Adnan Syed is either out of jail or on his way out, because they found, through this miniseries or this series, his lawyers were able to prove that he is not guilty, and there was doubt. There was like no evidence to connect him to this murder. And so, therefore, he had to be
released.
But I think he's on his way. I think I haven't checked on it yet.
Yeah.
But anyways, that, you know, true crime has, and then there are still like those other podcasts out there that are still trying to solve murders.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's neat. You know, what's it called? Crowdsourcing. I mean, and then also if you go on the serial killer route, I mean, you get inspiration for a lot of movies and stuff like that. Do you want to talk about like some of the favorite ones that you've... No. Oh, yes. Before that, John.
For the Adnan Syed.
Yeah.
It said the Maryland Supreme Court, or the Maryland Court of Appeals, the state's highest court, reversed the granting of a new trial and reinstated Syed's conviction.
Oh.
And then the appeal was to the U.S. Supreme Court was denied.
Oh, so he's still in jail.
Yeah.
Damn.
Never
Dang
mind.
Dang it. Rip. That's so upsetting. But, you know, I mean, this is based off of the series that I saw. Yeah. He... there was a lot of evidence that said otherwise.
Yeah.
I personally, this is just me, I personally don't think he did it.
Yeah.
But also, I know, it's kind of shady. But again, I'm not on a jury. I haven't seen all the stuff.
I was going to say, it just takes, if you've ever seen, like, the movie 12 Angry Men, you probably should. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. It's also a classic. But that whole movie is literally about 12 jurors, and they have to bring, they're like, oh, this kid did it. He murdered this guy. And then one of them is like, no, I don't think he did. And then the whole movie is about them literally discussing, and then him, one guy, one juror out of 12, convincing the rest of them that there is reasonable doubt. And I'm like, that's literally how a courtroom, like, jurors work.
Yeah.
It's literally just one person being persuasive enough and making the other ones change their opinions for you to think that there's doubt.
Yeah.
And then that's how it runs, which is kind of sometimes unfortunate.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it is your biases that do cloud your judgment, and you will immediately, because that was part of the reason why they all thought why they all thought he was guilty. Because they're like, I'm pretty sure they, like, say he's a black man. And they're like, oh, he's guilty. He's fucking guilty. And they're
No.
No, hold on. Give us a second.
To Kill a Mockingbird is not true crime. However, it's a very similar thing where, you know, there's this black man who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and accused of rape of this young girl, this young white girl, against a jury of a bunch of white men who, in the racist South. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people are people.
Yeah.
And they have their biases. You can't really have a unbiased jury, I don't think.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
Especially, like, with media attention nowadays. Oh, yeah, it's very hard to get a crowd of people who don't know what's going on. Like, because me and John are both from Florida. Casey Anthony, everybody freaking knew her case before. Mm-hmm. So they had to go literally, I think they went all the way to Pensacola to find people for her case in Orlando. That's 7 hours away. And that's, like, buttfuck nowhere.
It's in Pensacola where they caught Ted Bundy? Yeah.
No. He was caught in Tallahassee.
Ah, okay.
Because he was caught at FSU.
But he stayed? I'm just trying to go back. I'm trying to make connections that aren't there.
He was caught at FSU. He was caught at a college.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
No, yeah.
But, I mean, speaking of Ted Bundy, have you seen the extremely heinous and despicably vile, something like that?
The one with
Zac Efron?
Yes. Hold on. I will tell you the actual title. Extremely Wicked and Shockingly Evil and Vile.
Yeah.
What a fucking title, first of all.
That's what the judge said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he said during the sentencing. You know,
okay. Still, it's a really long title.
I like it. Did you see the movie?
Yes, I did. And
what are your thoughts?
My thing with serial killers, with some of them, sometimes we have this strange thing called romanticizing.
Okay. Yeah.
Serial
yeah.
killers.
Yeah.
Or romanticizing at least their things. And I think they did that with this one.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, they made him... First, I guess Ted Bundy was attractive at the time.
Yeah, like it wasn't for no reason. Like,
I know, but like... But I didn't particularly like...
You weren't like, ooh, maybe I could change him.
I totally get that, and I kind of agree, but also at the same time,
if I could play devil's advocate for a second,
but like, I've heard the other people defending it, saying like, you know, he was charismatic in real life, and he did it. You know, he was able to charm. Like, if you see, you know, videos, like actual news footage of people interviewing girls outside of, like, women outside of, you know, the court, they'd be just like, oh, he's kind of cute. Like, how, he doesn't look like he could kill anybody. Like, he was so charming for some reason. And, you know,
he's just a smooth talker.
Yeah. And then, in the movie, we're just kind of focusing on it.
Yeah.
But then also a lot of people another criticism was that some people would have wished that they focused on the women that he manipulated, like his girlfriend.
Because my thing was, I was a little confused because they had put Lily Collins in such a, like, staple of that movie. Because I thought they were going to put it through her eyes because she is the girlfriend that, like, he like, manipulated the most.
Yeah.
That he doesn't kill. Like,
yeah.
She's the girlfriend that survives the whole thing. And she doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Like, until, like, towards the end, obviously. But, like, I was just like, I'm confused. Because I'm like, I thought we're supposed to see that he's this vile human being. But right now, you're making me fall in, not like fall in love with him, but like...
like be charmed by him. I think that's what the scary... I think I would say maybe that was the point of the movie. That's the scary part about it. Because we already know how, you know, extremely wicked, disgustingly vile, whatever. The things he did were absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
So I guess we didn't have to see it. And the really scary part about the whole thing is not the death itself, but the way that he could just get away with it, you know, until he didn't, you know, and the way that he thought that he could.
Until Florida said, fuck no. Yeah. Only time they got something right.
Yeah. And so until he, like, you know, and again, I even saw part of the Ted Bundy tapes. We watched a few of the episodes together where I feel like Ted Bundy's an interesting serial killer because a lot of people, I think people don't cover him very well. They cover him like a superstar.
They really do. And they make him seem like the number one. And I was like, it was just because one, he was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. He knew how to talk his way out of anything, which is what it was. It wasn't necessarily that like
anything else. And he was a conventionally attractive white man. Like middle America, you know, average Joe.
Yeah.
And he didn't look.
Because he's from Colorado or Utah. Which state? He's from one of those states, right?
I thought he.
Or is he from like.
He was.
He's from this.
I think he started his thing in Oregon.
Oregon? Okay, so he's
from or the Washington. Pacific. No, it was Washington because it was in Seattle.
Okay.
It was Washington.
So he's so he's from this side. So, yeah. You know.
And then he made his way down to Florida. But the sort of true crime things that I like to listen to is that they focus on the victims.
Yeah.
Specifically like Dateline is a really good one. I mean, they focus on the perpetrators, but not as much as they focus on the victims. They talk to the actual victim if they're there, and the family and the people closest to them, and then they give you context of this horrible person who committed the crime. And then My Favorite Murder also does that. They don't always say, you know, we're going to talk about the Son of Sam or the Zodiac. Like the killer themselves, they say this is the murder of so and so. That way they focus more on the victim or victims, and then kind of mention, you know, the perpetrator at the end.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, serial killers are interesting because, like, it's the mindset of, like, how could you do this?
Right.
But that's why, like, I watch then the, although, yes, all cops are bastards. I like watching Criminal Minds or Mindhunter, where it's the FBI looking at it from, like, although Mindhunters is before they made Criminal Minds, before they made the BAU. Like, while they're trying to understand why these serial killers think the way they do. Why do they... They didn't even have the term serial killers. They were just like, these people are committing several crimes. Why?
Yeah. I love, like, what's it called? Mindhunter. Yeah. I love Mindhunter. It's so good. And also, I just fangirled about it just because they, you know, they're just like, oh, this is them. Even though these are fictional, quote unquote, you know, characters, but they're doing kind of going along.
It's based on a book.
Based on real people.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, just like, oh my gosh, they're coming up with these terms. And it's so fascinating where they interview all these, they try to pick apart, you know, all these serial killers to try to predict or find, you know, future killers.
Yeah.
And their habits. And I find that I love the psychology. It sounds really weird. I love the psychology of killers.
It's the truth though, because it's the brain works just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's brain works differently.
Yeah.
But they connect things in a way that other people don't, which is what makes them a serial killer. And then they have certain traits that like they tick certain boxes, which is why like they have the, like, do they wet the bed? Do they
harm set animals? Fires.
Yeah. Like, do they tick these boxes when they were a kid? Maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah. And then
he's a serial killer.
I think the scariest ones are the ones that have like a perfect life.
Yeah.
And a great life. And they don't tick off these boxes, but they turn bad anyways. And then also these other people who have like shitty lives, you know, they were abused as a kid, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But not all people who are abused as a kid turn into serial killers. You don't see all these women going around, you know. And it's also such an interesting study, I think.
Which is also why I'm like, therapy.
That's why everyone needs therapy.
I think everybody should go to therapy. Therapists should be paid much more. Yeah. Also, it should be covered by everybody's insurance.
Yes.
It should be much cheaper than what it is.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and then also, I keep mentioning My Favorite Murder, but I think they're number one for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows about them for a reason. And also, recently, during the COVID times, just because, you know, and they also have their own company now, so I don't think they have as much time as they used to.
Yeah.
But now they spend a lot of time talking about therapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, because talking about true crime is kind of, you know, daunting. And yeah, all the things that they look at, I'm sure. But at the beginning of every episode, they talk about, you know, their therapy and what they're going through. And at the end of every episode, they do a fucking hooray. So they, you know, they ask their fans, tell us something great that happened.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, you know, we just talked about something horrible. But here's the bright side, you know, someone just graduated college during a pandemic. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what other movies.
Well, it's like there. Ted Bundy has inspired a lot.
Yeah.
I wish he wasn't the favorite.
I just thought about this one. There was there's a Vice like documentary.
I was gonna say words.
Yeah. Where they follow this Japanese cannibal.
Whoa.
And like they actually interview him and everything. And his story is also very interesting because he grew up very affluent and mm-hmm. very rich. But he also had this weird obsession with like ogres, or in the Japanese word is like oni, which yeah. is kind of like an ogre, kind of like a beast, I don't know. And this myth that if you consume, almost very Greek, if you consume the body of your enemy, you get their power. And so he had this affiliation with consuming women for some reason, specifically white women. He liked blonde women. And so he in his time in Japan, what he did attack one girl, thankfully she lived and was kind of vague. She was unharmed, essentially.
Yeah.
But because his dad was super rich and prominent in whatever society they're in, he paid him off. And yeah. he was just like, you know what? Go elsewhere. Go to France. And so he's like, okay, I'll go to France. He goes to France. He studies. And then he, you know, becomes attached, affiliated with this other, I think a Dutch woman or something yeah. like that, that went to school with him. And they became friends, and then he invited her over, and essentially he murdered her and then tried to eat her.
Jesus.
And like, you know, but then he realized that he didn't really know how to cook a body. So he was just like, you know, I'm not gonna finish this. So he packs it all into his suitcase, and then he goes out to a park, and he's just like kind of sitting there at the park, kind of contemplating things. And then I guess a bystander noticed his bag, and it was kind of stanky a little bit.
Well, duh.
And so he called somebody, and then, you know, the French government, you know, whatever, essentially found him guilty of cannibalism and murder.
Yeah.
But again, his dumbass dad comes in and pays everything off, but also I guess France is like, they puts him in exile, and they're like, you can't just come back to France, I guess. And so he goes back to Japan, but weirdly enough, when he gets back into Japan, he becomes like a dark celebrity where everyone heard about that, and then he's like, oh gosh, he's still, you know, walking around legally and he can do whatever, and he becomes a porn star.
Wait, what's his name? Hold on.
I mean, you can look up Japanese cannibal porn star. I'm sure he'll come up. But, you know, that's how, you know, true crime gets into pop culture.
Yeah.
That's a very rare thing. You know, like, Japan obviously doesn't do that a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, like, you know, you would see that even, like, anywhere, really. There's this person who commits a horrible crime, say, OJ. And, you know, well, allegedly.
I was gonna say that,
allegedly. And he becomes a celebrity even a bigger celebrity because
okay, I was
of
like,
it.
He was already a celebrity.
But like even bigger, and everyone's just like, you know, taking sides. I mean, it's very similar to maybe R. Kelly or Michael Jackson, you know. Allegedly they did all these things.
Yeah.
And because they get all this attention, a lot of people are like, I need more.
Yeah.
And inadvertently give them money. That is the weird double-edged sword that is true crime. Like, yeah. You want to be informed, but at the same time, you don't want to
I was gonna say, because like what? The movie. Oh my god, I forgot it. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Although it's not a true crime movie, but it does like inadvertently talk about the Manson family stuff.
Yeah,
and it doesn't end the same way. But...
Yes, it doesn't end the same way.
Just he a did. Little different.
He does. Tarantino likes to do alternative history.
Yeah,
but it does, like, Manson's in the movie. Yeah. Like, he does put it. And Manson's in a lot of things. They put him in everything. Not everything, but, like, he does appear in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, because everybody's obsessed with that. They're like, yeah, no, a cult leader? Fuck yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. And don't we have enough of that?
Did he have, like, girlfriends while he's in prison?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he has a whole bunch of fans, Manson. Right? Is that what you're talking about?
I think he got married, like, a few years before he died, and he was still in prison.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure.
Like, did Bundy do that too? Yes. Ted Bundy got married while he was in prison.
Yeah, too. He did. And then he also fathered another child.
Yeah, a child while he was in.
But I guess that girlfriend or the wife, ex-wife, whatever, I guess she kind of came to her senses later in life and was like, wait, I was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess this is a good, like, you know, transition into kind of. So why a lot of true crime people right now are trying to step back from trying to avoid giving famous killers or whatever, you know, big names.
Yeah.
Like, if you give them the Golden State Killer, the Green River Killer, like, it sounds so great, you know, in a way. And so they're trying to, like, take it back a notch because a lot of people, unfortunately, do, fanaticize and romanticize these criminals, these horrible people, like the Columbine shooters. That's a really big thing on social media. They have huge fan bases because, I mean, they were not. Me and my true crime thing, I have a little bit of knowledge, but they were not the, you know, victims of, I mean, they were victims of bullying, but they were also bullies.
Yeah.
So they weren't like, oh my gosh, people are being mean to me. Yeah. And like, I need to stand up for myself. And then they shoot a whole school. No, that's not what it is. They were mentally unstable kids who didn't know how to they didn't know how to work out their feelings in a healthy way. And a lot of people who may be, you know, bullied in high school, very young people, and are just like, oh, I'm so sad in my life. I relate to these guys. I wish I could do that. And they just fantasize about these guys because they're just like, they did what I wish I could do.
Yeah.
And they make fan cams of them. And it's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. That's the part of true crime I'm just like really not into, where all these people, specifically women, will latch on to a killer or something like that.
That's why, like, for me, when it comes to like true crime, I will prefer it to be like, when like those types of movies, I prefer it not to be the true, like a crime movie. Yes, that's not based on anything real. I'll watch that.
Yeah,
because sometimes, sure, I don't mind watching it if it is based on true, like, but there are those instances where people will just, they latch on, bro, and they just, that's why, like, when they made the Ted Bundy movie, I was like, all you're doing is making more people obsessed with him.
Yeah,
all you're doing is making people fall in love with him even more. And I'm like, no, he murdered so many people and he got away with it several times until literally, like, till the end of it. Like, this could have ended so much earlier. It didn't. Also, he escaped.
Yeah.
But, like, it kept on going. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just, that's why I'm like, no, the more you make, I get making a documentary because it's different because it's just telling the truth. But when they make these movies like Extremely Wicked and Extremely whatever the hell it is, or My Friend Dahmer, all you're doing is just making it much more like fantasy.
I feel like though My Friend Dahmer didn't really, like,
I mean, that one didn't do as well. No, that one also didn't, like, not a lot of people watched it as much.
Well, yeah,
because it didn't come out on a streaming service. It came out like in theaters, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was also based off of a graphic novel. It was actually on one of my lists. It was based on a graphic novel made by a collection of his friends in high school. sequel, which actually is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because you're kind of watching, you know, this guy. Jeffrey Dahmer himself is also one of those weird cases where, you know, if he just got the right amount of help when he was younger,
he probably would have been fine.
This isn't to say that all gay men who, like, are ostracized for being gay will turn into serial killers. No.
No.
He just had a lot of mental issues that were not taken care of. And if he got the help, he would have been fine. Because, like, when he was in jail, he got the help and he was just like, oh, yeah, that was, like, really shitty of me to do. Which does not excuse what he did. But, you know, you wonder how could things have changed if he got the help he needed.
Yeah.
At a younger age. And I think that's what my friend Dahmer is so interesting. Because you see him at kind of like the budding stages of his, psychosis.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because doesn't he not like fully like do anything till the end of the movie?
No, like he... When he was a teenager, there's a lot of shit going on in his life.
I know he hurt animals when he was.
Yeah, he hurt animals, but then his parents thought that he just wanted to be like, he was just curious about, you know, anatomy, which is, I guess, fair. But at the same time, I was like, you hurt animals, that's not okay. But then he would watch, I think this could have been his first kill. It almost was his first kill. He saw a man run by his house or like this trail by near his house like every day, and he fantasized about, you know, like killing him.
Yeah.
And one day he was like, a bitch just might. And so that man thinks his lucky stars, that's the day he did not go running, and he was just like, oh, I guess he's not here. Never mind, I won't do it. And then Dahmer's, you know, victims ended up being, you know, young men of color.
Yeah.
Again. And that's why Dahmer got to go on killing. Because A, they're gay. And cops are like, ew, gays. B, they were brown boys.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, these are just like kids who are kicked off on the street. They're probably, not prostitutes. Sex workers.
Yeah.
You know, yada, yada, yada. That's how a lot of these serial killers get by.
Yeah, because they're going for...
The vulnerable.
I was going to say that. And then by like... police standards, like the undesirable.
Yeah.
Because like they're, no one's looking for them.
So they say.
So they're like, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
But no, don't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I think one of Dahmer's victims, like, I think he was like a, I think he was Asian, but like he found the cops, like he escaped Dahmer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, this guy is, you know, like trying to kill me or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, whatever. And they took him back.
They took him back Dahmer. And then he died. Yeah. This kid was like 14.
Yeah.
It was really sad. It was really sad. But you know,
Jesus Christ. See, this is why all cops are bastards. I stand by that.
and so, you know, and then also I think going back to Ted Bundy, his way of leading people to him is that he pretended to be injured and needed help putting something in his car. That's very similar to Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. I remember my dad telling me, he was just like, if someone is asking you to help put something in their car, this is your time to be rude. Don't.
Yeah.
Because they could, and that's also why I like listening to true crime, because I feel like I'm more prepared to see signs of nonsense. Like some guy, you know, it gives me, I feel like it gives me more empowerment to say fuck politeness.
Yeah.
And, you know, look out for me.
True.
Yeah.
But to be fair, most like murders happen like from somebody you know.
True.
So then it's literally somebody you trusted.
And true.
They violated that trust.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Very rarely will you be attacked by.
Especially now. Like back then, that was much more common because one, as a society, we were much more trusting. Mm-hmm. People didn't lock their doors. So literally anybody could just walk in and kill you.
Yeah.
You guys lock your doors?
Oh my gosh. Story time. One time on our house, we left the front doors unlocked. This was at night. And we're all hanging out in my room, which is near
the front door.
And we hear the door open. We assume it's probably one of our other roommates. And then this young man comes in. He's around our age.
Yeah.
And he's like, is so-and-so here? And then we're like,
who the fuck?
Who? And he was like, I don't know, like, Ashley? And we're like, no. I think you got the wrong place. I literally said, I think you got the wrong place. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he, like, left. And I'm just like,
this is why we locked the doors. Eva lectured us. And we're like, look, bro.
Like, literally, there was
roommates are always in and out. So sometimes it's hard.
There was a serial killer in L.A. many years ago who literally, I think it's called the, or is it L.A.? I don't know. He was the vampire of so-and-so. And he went into any house that had unlocked doors because he was like, it's an invitation. Like, those are the ones that scared me the most. I can't really listen to a lot of those kind of stories where home invasions, I hate. I cannot. You know, the movie The Strangers or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that's about the Manson, though. That's about the Manson.
I mean, family. It's very similar. Yeah. Like
Funny Games. I've seen that one.
No, I was going to say, Hush. That's
hard to watch. Hush. Yeah, like, oh, God, I hate those because, like, you're just
Panic home. Room. It's about a home invasion. I can list off a whole bunch of home invasion movies that you should watch. They're actually very...
Home Alone.
That one's funny, but that one's like, yeah.
That's so scary. That's so scary.
But you listen to true crime that are about that, but that's fine.
I skip those. There are some that I just can't listen to, like the one podcast, the last podcast on the left. At first, I didn't like them because I listened to a lot of their older ones.
Yeah.
And they've grown. They are white men that have grown. And a lot of their older episodes are, I guess you would consider them not very PC.
Okay.
You know, they said the R word and they didn't have very savory jokes.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a lot of care into the stories that they were telling. But I think as they've been doing this for a long time, so I think over the years they've kind of learned from their mistakes, and so now they don't say that shit anymore. Yeah. They, you know, and
what's their thing though? Why did they say the last house on the
Last podcast on the left? It it's a reference to something. I don't know what it is.
I was like, is it The Last House on the Left? That's a movie.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. I was like,
that's a movie.
Because they talk about like a whole bunch of different things, but you know, they talk about creepypastas and lore and witchcraft I really like their true crime, obviously. And there are a few of their heavy hitter episodes where they talk about, you know, serial killers or just like really big murderers.
Yeah.
And there's this one that I cannot listen to. I can barely finish it. Yeah. It's about the Toy Box Killer. I'm not going to talk about him because he makes me upset.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I do, now I listen to a lot of, Last podcast on the left because I think they're funny and I think they've learned from their mistakes and they're more careful with how they tell stories now. Yeah. But that one's more explicit. That one, they get into the nitty gritties and I don't really like very violent true crime. Weirdly enough, I don't like to hear the detail of it.
But that's literally what true crime is about.
I know, but like it's different because they go like really into it. They do like deep dives, mm-hmm. and like I can envision the crime happening. Mm-hmm. But the other ones, they kind of do it more factually, I guess, is how it works. And so I'm just like, okay. And then another true crime podcast I really like is And That's Why We Drink. Half of the episode is done by M, who uses they/them pronouns, and they talk about supernatural stuff like ghosts and things. Sometimes true crime, because some true crime leads to ghosts.
Yeah.
And then Christine does the other half of the episode where she talks about just true crime in general.
Yeah.
And I really like them because I actually listen to them when I fall asleep, specifically M's part, because I really like M's voice. Their voice is very like chill, and so I just fall asleep listening to them. And then back when I had two jobs, I had to take a nap in between both jobs, I would listen to another podcast called Fruit Loops, where it's these two people. They're actually from Arizona, Phoenix. And I was like, oh, sweet. And they talk about serial killers of color. That's why they called Fruit Loops. Serial killers of color. Because you would think that, you know, which is true. Most serial killers are white men. But this one's just like, the media is racist. And so we're going to talk about, you know, serial killers of
color. There are serial killers. They for sure exist, but they just don't get as much media coverage.
Because they would be considered your average quote unquote thug.
Yeah, and also it's like they would think about it as like black on black crime most of the time.
Yeah. Well, because they usually kill within their race. Exactly. And very rarely would they cover, you know, an actual, you know, say it was a black man killing a bunch of white women, which is extremely rare. But that would get a lot of attention because the victims are white women.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
No, true crime. Oh, God. There's so many movies. The Zodiac.
That one's so good. That one's so interesting.
I love that movie.
It's kind of stressful.
That one's good. This is not, it's not a, like, based on true, it's not based on true, true crime is, like, the element.
Right,
Nightcrawler. I haven't seen it. John loves that movie, though.
You never seen Nightcrawler?
No. Mm-hmm. We say this every time we bring up this goddamn movie.
What's
it
about?
He always goes, you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
Tell what Nightcrawler is about.
So, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, he's kind of just like a lonely guy.
Okay.
He doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. And he sees like a car wreck happening. Or, I mean, it's after the fact. And like, there are people there. They're like filming it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, all the... like horrific stuff, you know, people like bleeding and all that.
Uh-huh.
And he finds out that there's a whole like industry of people that just sell that stuff to news stations.
Mm-hmm.
And so he like tries to seek out all the like, you know, the violent stuff that he can sell at news stations.
That's so interesting.
But it takes a turn.
Is it like he...
I don't know if I want to spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Well.
The movie's been out for a while. And I know the turn. I know what turn he takes.
Oh, so he kind of, like, tries to influence, like, crimes. Like,
okay.
That's happening. Like,
I assumed that's where...
I mean, fabricate his own.
It kind of...
Not fabricate. He doesn't fabricate. Because, like, towards the end of the movie, he sees a home invasion as it's happening. And he's, like, filming it. And he lets the guys leave.
Mm.
And he has them on video, like, their license plate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he cuts that footage out when he gives it to the news station. And so the cops are like, you know, obviously questioning him. They're like, oh, you have this footage? Did you see what they looked like? Do you have it on video?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, no, I don't. And so after the fact, he goes back to the video, tracks down the guys, and like one thing leads to another.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Gets it on film of like...
like capturing them or...
yeah, like because there's like a shootout because he calls the cops. He's like, oh, I see them. They're over here.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he kind of like causes that to happen.
That's wild. So. There's a... that kind of reminds me of, I told you about Death Parade, and there is an episode, God, I won't tell how this episode ends. This is the most infuriating episode. I hated this one so much. So the two people that have died, so the kind of, the basic premise of this, if two people die at the same time, they go to this place, they have to play a game, and this judge determines who goes to hell, who goes to heaven. These two people who come at this day, one is a cop, one is a teenage boy a young boy.
Yeah.
And as they play this game, I don't remember what game they were playing. As they play this game, they get their memories back and they realize who they are and how and like what they're doing before they died. So frustrating. This boy, his younger sister was violently assaulted.
Okay.
And enough so that she went to a coma, and then when she came out of the coma, she was mute. It was just really, really bad. But, you know, she... somehow she was able to let them know, let her brother know that she saw a person. Yeah. She saw someone watching this happen to her, but not do anything. I think she said it was like a cop or something.
Yeah.
And then he finds out this is the cop. And so you eventually find out that they both died at the same time because the brother was going to get revenge on the cop who did nothing. And they both, I guess, killed each other at the same time.
Oh, okay.
But the cop, when he asked, like, why did you do this? He's like, why didn't you do something? You're a cop.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I can't arrest anybody if there's no crime. And you're just like, oh my God. And it was the most frustrating thing. And I won't spoil the ending.
All cops are
bastards. I won't spoil the ending, but the ending is so frustrating. But that's what that reminded me of. Yeah. This is not true crime.
Yeah.
But, you know. But, you
know. Even though I said all cops are bastards, Criminal Minds is a show that's true crime in the sense that, like, they take some actual crime that has actually happened and they put it into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Same with, like, Law and Order. SVU, they do the same thing. Same with, like, normal Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
I love Criminal Minds.
Yeah,
it's good. I can sit there and watch it for hours and hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is sometimes a little grotesque. Sometimes it's a lot. They play it at 9 o'clock, so they can show things you don't normally see on daytime television.
Yeah.
But no, because I think I've always liked it because they show both sides. Because we talked about that when we discussed Hannibal and how it's not a horror show.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by that statement. John disagrees with me, but whatever.
didn't say anything.
You made a face. If they could see it, they would have known. But yeah, no, I think it's the same point I made with when I said Hannibal's not a horror show. Mm-hmm. When you get to see the chase of the, mm-hmm. the cops trying to find the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's just so, and then trying to figure out, like, who's the person, like, why are they doing this mm-hmm. sort of thing? It's just so interesting to me. Because yeah. I'm like, yes, find that person. Why are they doing this? Oh my God. Yes. Because, like, the yeah. pig episode that we discussed, that episode came out years ago, and I remember.
Yeah.
There's also the overarching story with Hotch. That one's really fucking sad with his wife. Mm. That one mm-hmm. fucking ruined me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Should never watch that. But that I won't spoil. Well, it's been out forever, so I don't know. But that killer mm-hmm. comes back into the show. He's like the, I don't know how to describe him in like a, but he's the one that like he never caught.
Oh, like yeah. He, yeah. He's basically
like the one that got away. He's like the Zodiac killer where he always leaves these messages, but he never caught him.
Yeah.
And then he comes for Hotch.
Yeah.
His family.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, shit happens.
There's another criminal. No, yeah, there's another Criminal Minds episode that's actually based on, like, loosely based on this one female serial killer in Mexico.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this episode of Criminal Minds where they kind of took a little bit of, you know, it's kind of like Ed Gein again, but also mixed with this other lady. So in Mexico, this woman, I forgot her name, she grew up in poverty, you know, was sold as a child, all these horrible things. And then somehow she was able to get a life for herself. And also, a lot of her troubles as a kid is rooted because of her mother. And she somehow, through all this hard work, she becomes a luchadora.
Ooh.
And then all this kind of stuff. So she's, like, big and bulky and kind of like a celebrity. And then, around this time, you know, old women are being found dead. And a lot of the, and so the Mexican police department, they're just like, well, this has to be a man who hates his elderly mother.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot, even though a lot of witnesses say, no, we saw a woman. And then they're like, well, a woman would never kill anybody.
Yeah.
So this is probably, you know, a trans person, you know. And so they actually took in, like, tried to rally up all these trans men around saying that you guys are killers, and they're just like, no, we're just gay.
Yeah, like, no, we didn't do this stuff.
No, and then while all these people are in, like, the killings are still going on, and then I forgot how she was caught, but eventually she was caught, and then she was just like, yeah, I hate my mom, and these women remind me of my mom, so fuck her. Yeah. and she killed them all. And so the Criminal Minds episode that's sort of based between that and Ed Gein, I don't really like how the Criminal Minds dealt with this, because I think it would have been more interesting if they actually, like, went closer to the real life crime.
Yeah.
Where you eventually find out where, you know, all these elderly women in Mexico are dying, and they're just like, oh, it's a man. Because that, now a lot of people are like, well, why do we see a woman doing this? You know, whatever. And then you eventually find out it's a man cross-dressing.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just like,
You had an opportunity.
Yeah, you know, like, it. And again, very going towards, you know, J.K. Rowling, her whole thingy, it just feeds into that unfounded stereotype of, you know, trans women being quote unquote men dressed as women to hurt There's women.
Like two cross-dressing episodes, I guess, with Criminal Minds, because they had it with the actor who plays Jasper in
have heard of that one
in Twilight,
yeah,
because mm-hmm. he's yeah. I think his is more Norman Bates,
yeah,
truly, like, when he's like the he's, end of it,
right, yeah,
where he's like fully like talking as his mother,
yeah,
but like he's talking as this woman, yeah, sort of thing. So maybe somebody needs to talk to the writers.
I think that's so harmful,
but because, that's also yeah. like, not saying, like, this excuses anything, but, because they're, like, that was an older episode, so yeah. I think they also might not be aware that what they were doing is wrong, yeah. So I hope somebody now at least yeah. smacks them around and be like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you're perpetuating...
Perpetuating?
Yes. Yeah.
An unfounded stereotype.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so if you guys don't know the whole thing around J.K. Rowling, she created this book. She has like a series of detective novels. And then this newest book, in the synopsis, a transvestite.
Yeah.
She used the word transvestite. First of all, you can't use that word anymore. She said a transvestite is murdering a bunch of women. Like anyone else, yes, a trans person could kill a woman, but that has never happened on a grand scale before. Yeah. And she's just like, well, I took example from Ed Gein he's a serial killer who liked to cross dress, and he took pictures of girls in his, he was in Mindhunter. He wore the shoes. He had the shoe fetish.
Oh, is it Ed Kemper?
Not Ed Kemper. That's the co-ed killer. The other guy.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember what his name was.
Look up like Mindhunter serial killers and the guy with the shoe fetish. That's him. And she was saying him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, first of all, and then another one. I was like, first of all, these are not trans women.
No.
These are not trans people, period.
Yeah.
Ed Gein had some sort of mental disorder where he was obsessed with his mother and extremely dependent on her. And once she was... And once she was gone, he needed her so bad, he somehow
He manifested her in himself.
In himself, yes.
Is it Jerry Brudos?
Yes, Jerry Brudos. And, you know, that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And so Jerry Brudos, he was just a cis man.
Was obsessed
who with... He just had a fetish for women's shoes, and he just liked to dress in women's clothes sometimes. You can be a straight man and do that.
Yeah.
That's fine. But he was brought up in a society where you can't be a straight man and also be feminine at the same time. And so therefore, I mean, there's a lot of straight men who are told not to be feminine and they don't turn out serial killers.
Yeah.
But he... You know, something was wired wrong, and that's where he went. Again, he was not trans. He was like, no, I'm not a woman. I am not gay.
No.
I am just a straight man. Who likes women's clothing.
Yeah.
I find it attractive, which is fine. That part of his whole thing is fine.
Yeah.
And that's what's really kind of this lost in translation thing, I think, is where true crime gets a little complicated. Where people misinterpret stuff, like J.K. Rowling, where she's just like, look at these trans people. You know, dressing up as women so they can hurt other women.
Yeah.
Like, no. And also, first of all, Jerry Brudos, none of these men dressed as women to hurt women.
Yeah.
They were their own selves. Like, they never dressed as women around other women.
Yeah.
Except for Jerry Brudos' wife, but he never killed her. He was just like, I'm dressed as a woman. She's like, okay, that's funny. Put it away. Like, it's so unfounded and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I have there's a lot of things I have, even though I love true crime, I have a lot of gripes with it because there's a lot of people who just abuse it.
And then there's true crime that aren't related to serial killers.
Yeah.
That also inspire movies. So there's Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. Mobster movies are like big on that.
Oh, yeah.
True crime. Because we love a mobster movie.
I love it.
There's so much.
As an Italian American. I will embrace it.
I was like, I just like them because they're stressful and they just give me so much anxiety. And I'm like, I live for this. Martin Scorsese, give me more. Put it into my veins, please.
I'm so stressed out with The Departed.
Oh, God. Oh, The Departed stressed me the hell out. Oh, again, all cops are bastards. That should just be the title of this episode. Just kidding. We want people to watch.
There should be a drinking game.
How many times?
You take a shot every time Emily says alcohol.
Cups are bastards. Sorry, I gave you alcohol poisoning. What's another one? So there's Goodfellas, there's Irishman, Catch Me If You Can, Molly's Game. That one's not a mobster movie, but well, towards the end. If you don't know about that one's about she was a Olympic. She was going to be in the Olympics as a skier, but she injured herself. So then she was like, "Well, I got to do something else." So then she started playing poker.
Hmm.
Well, she didn't start playing poker. She was just helping this. She lived in California. Mm-hmm. And then she worked for somebody who had a lot of money. And he was like, yo, you're going to help me with this poker game. She goes, okay. She's like, what do I have to do? He's like, you're just going to sit there and see, like, basically make sure everybody pays and all this shit and who's coming and, like, what's their numbers and, that, like, mm-hmm. everything like that. She goes, okay, cool. And then she was in charge of this game. She met some very famous people. It's a true thing. Mm-hmm. One of the famous people is Tobey Maguire. Mm-hmm. He's an asshole. He's an asshole.
I vaguely allegedly. Remember hearing
no, that. Not allegedly. He's an asshole in her book, in the movie. Although it's played by Michael Cera. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hilarious that they put Michael Cera as Player X. That's what he's called. But yeah, no. It's just a very... So it's basically about poker and how she... Because you can't play poker not in a casino because that's illegal, especially if you're taking money.
You can't play poker in a casino?
No, not in a casino, like in your own house, especially if you're taking a cut of the money.
Got you.
Because that is illegal.
Got you. So it's true crime in terms of money.
Yeah, she did. Like she got, well then, because then when she, because they closed the game on her in like California. Mm-hmm. Whoops. And then, so she moved to New York and then she met mobsters in New York. But she says, she was like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. She goes, look, they had money so they could come to my games. She goes, I don't fucking care. Mm. They had the money.
Yeah.
So. Show me the fucking money.
That kind of reminds me of Hustlers. That in itself is a true crime movie.
Yeah.
Kind of, because these ladies, you know, if you guys don't know what Hustlers is, I highly suggest watching it. It's a lot of fun. Of these, you know, these exotic dancers, strippers, they get hit really hard by the...
Did they base that movie off of what Cardi B did?
No. Okay. It's actually based on actual women. Okay. Like, you know, these actual women that did this.
Okay.
And, you know, these women got hit hard by the economy drop in 2008. And they were like, hey, you know, let's scam all these men by taking their money from all their credit cards while we drug them up. And they do. And they go and they do this for a while until they're finally caught. Weirdly enough, not like... The women didn't get a lot of time in jail for this.
Also, because the guys probably embarrassed.
I know, yeah. That's the other double standard that kind of is showcased in this, where, you know, there are male victims of, you know, roofies.
Yeah.
And, you know, assault and all this other kinds of stuff. And this movie kind of showcases that, where, like, this the scene where one of the, like, the pretty much the victim that blows the whistle on all of this, he first goes... Like, he calls the police and says, hey, I think I was drugged by some strippers. And the cop laughs at him and hangs up. Yeah. Like, so, you know, like, that's part of the reason why they didn't get a little, they didn't get a lot of time in jail.
Yeah.
Because they got very, very little, you know, victim statements.
Yeah. And well, yeah, because, like, men, John, you can... voice in on this. Have tiny egos. Like, they don't want to... Something like that's gonna bruise their egos so bad. They're not gonna admit that out loud. That a whole bunch of strippers stripped them off and drugged them.
Thousands of dollars.
And thousands of dollars. Like, the fuck? No. Especially because they were wealthy men.
Yeah, they were high status.
Yeah, like, no.
Probably had wives.
That's one going to make them look so bad, especially if they're, like, businessmen.
Yeah.
Because then no one's going to trust you in your business because they're going to be like, oh, so this person could hustle you out of money? Anybody could.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. These guys are, they're going to protect their reputation. So mm-hmm. they're just going to be like, no, I'm going to say shit.
Yeah.
Would you say something?
No comment.
I was going to say the silence speaks volumes.
You were wanting to watch that one movie, The Teacher,
right? I do want to watch The Teacher.
Is that a movie or a show?
It's a show. Sorry.
Oh, it's a show?
It's a show, Hulu. It's brand new. It's Kate Mara and Nick Robinson. He's of age. Actor's of age. So I don't know why I have to preface that, but like... I just want to say that.
Yeah.
He has a baby face. That's probably why I wanted to say that. But basically, he is a high school student. Uh-huh. And she's a teacher, obviously. And then they have a relationship. But she's also married. And I'm like, bitch.
Again, we haven't seen the show yet. But just by the trailer alone, it reminds me a lot of this one, True Crime Case.
Yep.
Of this teacher. It's like a middle school, you know, junior high teacher. And she, how do I phrase this? She gets attached to this boy.
Yeah.
Who was like 12 or 13. And this is important. He was of Polynesian descent. He was, I think it was Samoan. And so she thought he was older, because a lot of people think that boys of color look a lot older than they are, which is not true, because he was only, and so essentially she grooms him mm-hmm. to, you know, to abuse him. And he, because he is groomed and he doesn't have a good home life, he's just like, yeah, this is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he's 13, 12. And when she finally gets found out in court, she was just like, first she says, oh, he looked older than what yeah. I thought he was. And then they're like, he was in your school. And she's like, well, he wasn't in my class. She thought the crime that she committed was that you're a student and a teacher. And they're like, no, no, no. He's a child. You're an adult. And then literally, oh, this sucks so bad. This is kind of stemming away from the show, because I don't think this happens in the show. This woman...
I'll live tweet what I think about the show on yeah. Twitter.
And so this woman, she is married and she has kids.
Yeah.
She has a quote-unquote affair. And it's not an affair. It's an assault on this boy. He impregnates her first try. And that's how they yeah. kind of find out that she's been assaulting this boy. And then she goes into jail and, you know, because she's found guilty, but not for a long time, which because she's a woman.
Yeah.
And also, I would say because she's a white woman and he is a
person of color.
Person of color. She's not in prison for long. She gets put on probation. They're like, you can go on probation. You can leave as long as you don't see him. Once you, like, and also you can get full, you can go see your kids, no problem. You can't see him. Once you see him, you're going right back to jail and you can't see your kids ever again. She gets out of jail immediately. And within an hour, she goes to see him. They don't have sex. And she assaults him again.
Yeah.
She's impregnated again. And then she goes back to jail. While she's in jail, they get married. She comes back out. He's 21, 20-ish.
Yeah.
She gets custody of her other kids and his kids, and everything's fine. Because she's a white woman. I honestly think it's just because she's a white woman.
Was like this in Florida?
I honestly don't remember what state this was, but it's, and there's a documentary about it too. It's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
I know they're like based on the trailer of a teacher. It's a Hulu show. It literally just premiered today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there was a piece of it that Nick Robinson's character was like, I don't know what to do, like, because he's like so in love with her. And I'm like, I honestly, like, I wonder how this show's gonna go, because I'm like,
no, I'm,
what do you do? Because she's married, like the teacher's married, mm-hmm. and then he's so infatuated with her, and he's like, she's his teacher, they're in the same classroom together and everything like that. And then, oh god, there's a scene, like, you saw it too, that, like, the cops do show up at one point, and they show up at his house, which is what I'm concerned about, because I'm like, how are they going to play this?
Because
I'm like, do you get in trouble as the victim?
I mean,
or like, do they just come because they need your statement?
I mean, there's another movie with J-Lo.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Like, you know, essentially it's a hot underage boy who gets obsessed with...
Oh, he's underage?
I think so. Is he underage? He's in high school and he becomes obsessed with her. Anyways, it's student-teacher relationship. Again, it's a hot woman, a teacher, with a boy, and that's what's, I don't think media has
understood that, like, that's,
no, that's not okay. If it was a man and a young girl, it still wouldn't be okay.
American Beauty, uncomfortable.
Also, ignore Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, especially considering Kevin Spacey. But Liars should have never,
like,
if
the teacher was not hot, like, they would have, like, this wouldn't have gone down the way it did in Pretty Little Liars.
But also, because, like, that whole thing also makes me upset, because I was like, she lied about her age. Well, because they met on the college campus, so he, in, like, not to defend him, but, like, he had assumed she was a college student, so he thought she was of age.
Yeah.
Off the bat. Yeah. But then when he found out she was a student, should have ended everything.
I know. And then
then they still go around it. I'm like, that's disgusting.
It really is. I mean,
and that's your student? You literally teach her. She's in your class, bro.
I can't with this. And then I'm just so upset, even in real life.
You can always think a teacher's hot. Like, just don't act on it, bro.
Yeah, and then you shouldn't be blaming the student.
Yeah.
Because they are underage. They're not developed yet. The adult is the adult.
Yeah.
And knows right from wrong. And if this teacher saw that a kid was hitting on them, they stop it immediately. They're like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Go see a counselor.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. You're a kid. Knock it off.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It doesn't, and then it's so sad because if it's a woman and a boy, a lot of people are like, oh, that boy, good for him.
Yeah, you know, just because there's also in the trailer piece for a teacher, yeah. his friends are literally like, oh, hell yeah, dude, yeah. Like, you slept with your teacher. That's so cool. And I'm like, no, he's literally supposed, I think he's supposed to play like 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
He's underage and she's the teacher.
It doesn't matter if the kid thinks that they are so in love with this teacher.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
What if, because I don't know, what if he's 18 though in the show? Because then it's technically legal, but then that's just the ethical
one. Then it's just the ethical thing.
Yeah.
You know, you could also argue that goes into the argument of should.
That's older, abuse of power.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, that's exactly. Just an abuse of power at that point.
But just.
True crime.
True, yeah.
In pop culture. See, she exists.
She's there. You can't. No, yeah, she's there. As much as we.
Although no one's argued that it wasn't there.
No, so yeah. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's compelling. We, it's
tune
compelling.
In next week.
Tune in. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's this other case of the. I just popped into my head. Of these two girls who were, like, best friends. Like, obsessed with each other. And some people, like, theorize that these two girls were in, like, a romantic relationship with each other, yeah. But the two women, when they are older, they're like, no, we were just really good friends, yeah. And we were obsessed with each other. One of the girls, her family said, you know, was like, we're gonna move to New Zealand. And then these girls were like, oh my god, we can't live without each other, we need to do something. And so they trick one of the girls' moms and murder her.
Oh my god!
And then they're just, I think they were caught quickly afterwards because they're kids.
Yeah.
And
but she actually murdered, they actually murdered
They actually the murdered mom. Their mom. Yeah, one of the moms. And let me pull it up really quick. Fun fact. So it says, the woman who is now known as the mystery writer Anne Perry was born Juliet Holmay. At age 15, she and her school friend Pauline Parker murdered Parker's mother, Honora, in a park in Christchurch, New Zealand. Oh, wait. Okay. They were in New Zealand.
They're moving out of New Zealand.
And so these kids, because they're kids,
yeah.
They end up, you know, spending some time getting some help.
Yeah.
And they end up getting out.
Yeah.
And being, as we know, at the moment, regular citizens. And so Juliet, or now Anne Perry, she made this book called, I think it's called Heavenly Creatures. And they also made a film based on her book. And I think it was only recently we found out that the author of this book was the actual girl. Like, was one of these girls.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy. And so that...
Hey, I want to read it. What do you know about?
Yeah, I want to read it because it's so wild. It's so wild.
It almost sounds like that movie Thoroughbreds.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
The one where the girl hates her stepdad, mm-hmm. So her and her friend, like, plot a plan to kill him.
I don't think the parents were that bad in their lives. I think one of the pairs were, like, getting a nasty divorce. And that's, like, a really hard... I think that's also why these girls were just, like, so tight together. Yeah. Because they were both going through a lot of hard times during their teen years.
Yeah.
And you gotta stick with your buddy.
Jesus Christ.
Girl, you can have a long-distance relationship. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
When you're a kid, though, it's your whole world.
Yeah.
That's why, like... I mean,
breakups for friendships are just as painful.
I was gonna say, sometimes they suck even more than, mm-hmm. like, romantic ones.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no. True crime.
Oh, God. It's there.
So much.
And I still enjoy it, and I still listen to it every time I draw. Yeah. Because it gives me a story to listen to. I'm still not tired of it. There was a point where I actually, for some reason, it was getting to me.
Yeah.
And I got really paranoid, so I stopped.
See, I don't think I could do a true crime podcast.
No.
As a person who has had to deal with a true crime in their own personal life. I don't think I could do it. That's why I'm like, you know what? Movies? I turn off my brain. It's not real to me. But like listening to it, I don't think I could.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Also, side note, I looked up the Toy Box Killer after you talked about it.
Yeah, and you don't like it.
Yeah, no.
No, I know. It's not.
I couldn't talk about that.
It's not good. It is not good. It's not fun. Just Emily.
Disclaimer to the audience. Do not look it up.
Don't
look up the Toy Box Killer.
He is so scary. No. Emily, don't look it up.
It's fucked up. Don't look it up.
Trust me, I'm about to ask John after this episode's done.
No, you don't want to know.
Oh, okay.
It's not fun.
Don't look up the pictures either.
Oh my god.
Why would you... See, this is why.
Of the quote-unquote Toy Box.
Anyways. TLDR for this whole episode. I think true crime is important. Because it opens up a lot of conversation about a lot of important issues.
Yeah.
You know, of victims that need to be spoken about. A lot of specific...
long as we, like, keep the focus on the victim, mm-hmm. I think true crime can continue... Not that, like, I'm the sole speaker. Yeah. I give it permission. But, like, you know, it's on a good path.
Yeah.
I think they have kind of stepped back from giving those few serial killers mm-hmm. the limelight and giving more of the victims
I mean, like, I don't follow true crime that much, but like this more relates to like when they've had like mass shootings.
Yeah,
like I feel like the media is being better now about like not showing a picture, right. Not saying the name of the killer, you know, mm-hmm. to glorify him or whatever.
Because I mean specifically for school shooters, I'm assuming, you know, they probably glorify, you know, what are they called? Columbine shooters, because they are so, mm-hmm. with lack of a better term, fantastic. Like, in a way that it's, like, appalling. Like,
I was going to say, do they even... I think after which one did they stop? Oh, no. They showed the Parkland shooter. They put him on.
I think it was after him. Because that one was really... I think after him, they were just like, you know what? We're not going to show you their faces. We're not going to say their names. Yeah. We're just going to tell you... who died and who is the hero.
I think it was the El Paso one.
Oh.
Where I noticed it.
Okay. Mm. Where they stopped.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so, you know, I think, and then the podcast that I listened to.
I was like, there's been a shift. They're trying to avoid, they're putting more focus on the victims.
Which is like,
should be.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones that you mm-hmm. want to help.
Yeah. And then a lot of my, the podcast that I listen to, they donate a lot of their funds to, you know, people in need, specifically like the Innocence Project, where they try to, because that's a whole other thing, like the documentary 13th, mm-hmm. where they talk about how the 13th Amendment actually helped the prison system become the new slavery system.
Yeah.
And that's why you see a lot of, you know, people of color, specifically Black men, in the prison system. And that in itself is a true crime thing that you see a lot in, you know, movies and stuff. But I highly suggest people watching that one just to educate yourself about American history in that term. But, you know, I think, you know, the Innocence Project and, you know, a lot of domestic abuse, you know, shelters and all these other kinds of stuff, I think it's really important. The podcast that I listen to, Wine and Crime, you know, and all the other ones I've listed, they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. And if anything, you can always, if you know of a specific crime or thing that's happened, you can always donate to that mm-hmm. victim's personally. Yeah. Always donate to them if you can. Yeah,
like help fund for their funeral or their like lawyers, that. You know, their...
whatever thing they have to deal
medical
with.
Medical bills, if they're still alive.
Yeah. It's always nice to... because sometimes if you donate money to a big corporation, sometimes they'll never see that money. So mm-hmm. if you go to the individual person, it'll help a long mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. It's a low-key heavy episode? Not really, but...
I feel like...
it's a big subject.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of uplifting. You just have to...
Yeah.
Don't these people are scumbags. Like, mm-hmm. the people who commit these crimes are scumbags.
100%.
And we shouldn't be glorifying them. We should be, you know, respecting and remembering the victims.
Always be, like Eva. If you are that type of person, that true crime does help you be more wary of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. Then continue listening to true crime. If not, just...
It's a weird comfort for me.
Yeah. If not, do your research on, like signs of things. Yeah. Of, like, if, like, for domestic abuse, you can look up the
red flags for
the
that.
Red flags. There we go.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the word? the red flags, trust me, they have them out. You can look at it to mm-hmm. see, to help get you out of those situations. Mm-hmm. Resources. And if not... Always speak out or seek help.
Should we put some hotlines in our
show notes?
Yeah, we'll put some hotlines in our show notes. I think mainly for the US.
Yes.
Just because that's where we're based in. But I mean, I think you guys can Google, you know, your local ones or whatever there is, you know, shelters and things like that if you need any help. Also, if you are not feeling too well mentally, also seek help. Therapy is great.
I use BetterHelp.
Yeah, BetterHelp. I mean, we're not sponsored.
No, we're not sponsored, but BetterHelp actually, like, it's not, if you, they were super nice with COVID, so it's much cheaper right now. Mm-hmm. And then I get like 4 sessions for the month, and then it's really nice.
Nice. Yeah, I would like to get that.
Yeah.
If I budget better.
Talking to a therapist. Mm-hmm. Getting help.
Yeah.
Because I stress all the time.
Yeah.
So anxious and depressed. So
don't become a serial killer. Get help.
Yes. If only were that easy.
Yeah. I mean.
Yes.
But yeah. I think that's it. Is that it for you?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Eva. You can find me on Instagram at BevaMart. You can find me on Twitter at Eva_BevaMart. I guess I'll plug in Victoria, even though she's not here. Victoria, you can find her on Twitter at ChubbyPinkKirby. She's so funny.
Yeah.
Emily?
You can find me on Instagram or on Twitter at TheEmilyGuron. And you can find us, our podcast, on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
Facebook!
Now we have a Facebook page.
Woohoo!
On Facebook, it's just look up Pop and Circumstance. But on Twitter and Instagram, it's Pop and Stance. Thanks, John, for joining us for this episode.
Do you want to plug anything, John? Do you have a Twitch thing? Do you have a Twitter you want to plug?
I can plug my Friendster and my MySpace.
I hate him.
Bring back MySpace. Better than Twitter. No, sorry. No, Facebook.
No, I use what's that one called? Parlor?
Oh my god, no, get out of here
with that. A true crime thing within itself.
Oh, God.
I had to look up what that was the other day, because mm-hmm. one of my Trump Facebook friends was like, I'm on Parlor now.
I'm like, what the fuck? Fun stuff.
Oh, God.
But yeah, be nice to each other.
As always, wear a mask.
Yes.
Social distance whenever possible.
And then be good to yourself. Have some fun. Go consume things
that make you happy.
Yes.
Go. There's tons of new content coming out within the next couple months mm-hmm. everywhere because mm-hmm. it's holiday season.
Yes.
All the holiday movies are coming out soon. I'm so
excited. We're going to talk about holiday things after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what about Thanksgiving movies?
There are only one.
They don't get the love laser.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the only one. That's the only thing. I don't think. Whatever. We've discussed Thanksgiving before.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye.